In this episode, I'm going to share with you a crazy MySpace story from my past, how to identify the right KPIs, the key performance indicators for your online videos, and break down the latest news that matters to marketing masters.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hello. Well, it's been a really interesting week for video marketing masters. A follower of mine, a former United States congressman, reached out to me last night and asked if he could come meet with me at Wirebuzz next week. And you know, politics sucks. And if you're wondering if I would take a political marketing project, I can tell you right now I couldn't be more disinterested. There's no way I would take it. But at one point in my career, you know, I was one of the top digital marketing hired guns in America. And for years, I led digital marketing for the biggest names in American politics. On both sides of the aisle, it didn't matter. And I didn't care if you were a Republican or a Democrat. I'm not really fooled into thinking there's a significant difference between the two. And just like a pyramid, and most people don't even realize this part, but just like a pyramid, the closer you get to the top of America's biggest political leaders, right? The biggest leaders, the closer you are to the top of that pyramid, the less likely they are to care if you're helping out the other side. Why? Because the resources, the expertise is really scarce. There are few people that could do what I do. And because the top of the left side of the pyramid is virtually touching the right side of the political pyramid, they're just really close when you get way up there. And the only people who care about the two sides are the ones way, way down at the bottom of the pyramid where the two sides present further apart. Now, the inside access that I had in my life was really interesting. And all I would have to do is mention my clients' first names, and everyone listening right now would know who I was talking about. That's how big they were. And in one of the episodes of Video Marketing Mastery, I spilled the beans. I lifted the veil. I mentioned some of their names, the people that I'm not still on a non-disclosure agreement for. And I prefer not to mention them because of how people react. It doesn't matter, even though they're on both sides of the political landscape, which shows that I'm kind of balanced, maybe sophisticated or unsophisticated in people's minds. But every time I tell people, you won't believe the face, just their facial reactions. I can see hate on their faces as soon as I mention somebody that's on the opposition in their mind, right? And it's a rather ugly side of people that I prefer not to see, because it's really bizarre when you see somebody go from super interested, leaning forward, to recoiling, flooded with disgust, and it happens so quickly. So I've decided to just be vague and pretend my non-disclosure agreements are still in place, and that tends to help me and help them. And then at some point, I cleansed my soul. I retired from politics. So when I got the call this week, I thought, well, I'm flattered he's listening. I'll be a gentleman. I'll take the meeting. And at the very least, it should be interesting, which reminds me of, and I'd never shared this story before, the time I led a MySpace project for, wait a second. When I say that I was leading my professional MySpace projects, for, you know, that really dates me as a digital marketer, right? Because I've really seen the convection cycle of sites becoming hot and everybody and my mother using them. And then before you know it, they disappear. And then the next one pops up, kind of like whack-a-mole. And so I was leading a MySpace project for, well, how do I sidestep not IDing this person? Because if I ID this person, it would be a quick story. Well, one of my clients needed a MySpace page that spoke to different persona groups, different age groups, right? And one of those groups were high school and college age kids. And my client's page was their last name plus babies. It literally used the word babies. That's what they wanted. So to give you an example, if my client was Bill Clinton, which it was not, the page would have been called Clinton Babies, right? Specifically targeting the kids who grew up under his influence and were supporters of Clinton. Got it? All right. Well, when my team set up this super famous man's campaign, we knew everything had to be absolutely perfect. There was no room for error. And the reason is the dude's a household name. So it would be huge if we screwed anything up. And within minutes, it would be a national story. And as you can imagine, the seven members of my team vetted every little detail on the site, every word, every punctuation, every image, the settings in their bio, everything. But way, way back in the day, websites were glitchy and especially MySpace. So once everything was vetted and we pushed the page live, you wouldn't believe it. While we were reviewing the now live page and looking at this super famous person's MySpace bio, we found the most horrific typo of my entire career. It was such a problem that when we caught it, half the people in the room lost their breath because we could already hear this spinning into a national scandal. And so here's how it went down. The form filled details selected in this famous person's MySpace profile, designed to communicate to 18 to 24 year olds, listed him, a married man, as, quote, interested in meeting people of either gender for NSA, which on MySpace stood for no strings attached sex. Get it? The glitchy MySpace profile reset. We had nothing to do with it. And shocked, we clicked edit. We fixed the problem. And with the eyes the size of silver dollars, we all just kept refreshing the live page, waiting for MySpace to update it and praying that our correction stuck. And about 30 days later, we just kind of held our breath, right? Nobody ever found out. We got a really good laugh at it at a cocktail party one night. And that is how somebody could get, just watch what's going on with the current administration. Any detail like that, if there was like Trump babies, that would turn into a national story, right? Well, good on me. We swept that one under the rug. Our friend Eric Enga from Stone Temple Consulting did something really cool. He collected data, big nerd data, on which videos rank in YouTube and which ones rank in Google. And then he analyzed the results in detail. Now, are you interested in finding out what he discovered? Me too. Guess what? Stone Temple's founder, CEO Eric Enga, who recently won Search Marketer of the Year, he's going to be joining us on one of our next podcasts, all right? Stay tuned. You're going to just love just how interesting Eric's nerd science is, and you're going to discover how to use his findings to advance your business on Google and YouTube, all right? All right, this is going to happen in an upcoming episode really, really soon. It's already scheduled in my calendar. It's going to be fun. The Global Harbor Mall in Shanghai has installed four glass pods inside the mall for husbands who don't want to be dragged around by their wife while they're shopping. That's kind of awesome, right? I looked at it, and it's basically four glass walls, a laptop, some headphones for a guy to sit there and pretend that he's not out shopping. In Google News, the BBC had an interesting story about Google. Google is adding a personalized Facebook-style news feed to its homepage, google.com, for those of you who've never been there, to show users content that may be interesting before they search. Now, it will display news stories, features, videos, and music chosen on the basis of previous searches by the same user. Now, users will also be able to click a follow button on search results to add topics to their area of interest in their feed. Now, if you want to get more about that story from the BBC, it'll be on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/106. In YouTube news, Google-owned YouTube is getting hit with a PR crisis after one after another this year. And the latest, a class action lawsuit led by YouTuber Zombie Go Boom, filed on July 13th, claiming that YouTube intentionally caused adpocalypse to occur in an effort to appease its advertising partners at the expense of its content providers. Now, the recent adpocalypse was sparked by YouTube's response to advertisers, which I told you about on this podcast, who were concerned about brand safety and a revenue hit in the multi-millions after brands like J&J, Johnson & Johnson, Verizon, and AT&T pulled their ads from the platform. But since then, YouTubers have seen a much more strict approach to ensuring brand safety for its advertisers, including erroneous takedowns, flags, as well as censorship of video. Now, you may remember that I was using the term el beso de la muerte, the kiss of death, right? And it's been my experience as a digital marketer, even with my news site that went crazy viral back in the day, that once I introduced censorship of any kind, everything goes cattywampus. And before you know it, your loyalist users, these people that are making money on your platform, there couldn't be anybody more loyal, right? Start seeing things changing. They start weaving their own conspiracy theory, and a cancer starts to spread, and el beso de la muerte starts taking place. Be very, very careful anytime you want to be the big brother or the authority for your audience to determine who's good, who's bad. Winners and losers ultimately only create losers. Got it? Good. All right, well, I got this email from a listener. And for those of you who've got any video marketing and digital marketing questions, and I couple the two together because they go hand in glove, if you have any questions, feel free to submit them to me, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or wirebuzz.com/pitch. Well, the one that stood out this week was, well, we'll call him BK, and he writes, "Hey, Todd, my plea is a bit sarcastic, but man, I've got a client that I need some help with. And I'm pretty sure you've dealt with this before. They, quote, need, end quote, to have all these in-the-weed details about their products that bring the pace of the video to a screeching halt. Another problem is the client tends to want to please all the product managers instead of the video viewer. You know, I got a storyboard edit back," he goes on to say, "from them today. And this slide and six, count them, six lines of text. Now, my challenge is, Todd, deciding how hard to push back. Surely you guys, with all of your clients, must have had similar situations. What's the trick to getting them out of the weeds?" Signed, B. Well, hey, B, the goal should be to share your top three. I mean, just let people know there's only so much that their viewing audience can digest, and your viewers will only remember three. So instead of overwhelming them, give them just the most important, most valuable items. You know, many businesses make the mistake of trying to jam everything into their video, and much like an overstuffed Chipotle burrito that just has too many ingredients, eventually the entire structure of that video, like the burrito, absolutely falls apart. You'll get better results if you can compel your client to create short, succinct videos that are more like an enchilada and less like an overstuffed burrito. First, I'd remind my client, now this is your action takeaway, that it's not about them. The video is not about them and what they do. It's about their customer. Your customers are like Luke Skywalker, right? And your company is Obi-Wan. Now, your job is to guide them towards the transformation that they're trying to create, solving a problem, a painful problem, or achieving a desired outcome. Now, nobody cares about your laundry list of cool features. And when I say nobody, I mean nobody outside of your office. Your target customer, they care about what you can do for them, the transformation you can provide. If you need to list a bunch of features or product specs, do it in the text or the graphics for the diehards who care about that. But don't force feed it to your buyers who are looking for and expecting a clear, emotive explanation for your product or your service. And that's what people expect when they click on that video. The video is an easy button. Don't make it too complex. Don't squander that opportunity, that attention span that your target customer is giving you, by asking your viewers to read a spec sheet in the middle of your video. The second thing I want you to take into consideration is people tend to remember only one thing, right? Earlier, I mentioned give them three things, right? And what I mean by that is give your clients three things. Just focus on three things. And sharing more than three big takeaways substantially decreases the chances that viewers are going to recall any of them. So if you have a few benefits or outcomes that you can provide and they serve different types of customers, use up to 3 benefits. But that's it. And if you only serve one type of customer with one desired outcome, use your video to make just one transformational promise, and use the rest of your video to provide you with information that can just back that up. Third thing, dealing with a meddlesome account exec is a big no-no for us, right? We won't take projects where we can't communicate directly with the client. If somebody gets in the way, let me give you an example. If my client is has a kind of like a middleman in the way, that's a red flag for my team. We already know. We do so many videos. Last year, we produced over 1,000 videos. I know the exact number because it works perfectly. 2016, we did 1,016 videos, right? And after you go through this, you start to see a problem. So we won't take projects where we can't communicate directly with the client because there are just too many traps that new video creators fall into during their first project. And you can't set proper expectations. Read your scripts in voice or defend your work or strategy. As a consultant, your clients are counting on you to provide a really smart tactical outcome, right? They have a goal in mind. And in many cases, that means saving them from even themselves. Remember, that's why they hired you, all right? So I hope that helps. Think of your video more like an enchilada, just a couple of ingredients, than a big-ass Chipotle burrito that's going to fall apart. Hope that helps. And while we're on this topic, the more I learn about marketing, the more I believe in an economic use of words. Leonardo da Vinci said, quote, "Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication." Think about that. When you look in an Apple website, what is it that makes it so good, right? It's got a lot of white space. There's a lot of opportunity for your brain to process the important details, but you're not jamming too many details on the page. So your brain can kind of process everything. And you know, on a lot of our client projects, before the company goes in and pitches a client, I get to review the pitch deck, right? And the number one thing that I do, and it, I don't know if it upsets my team or what, the number one thing I do is increase white space on that slide deck. Because I want to make sure that when the client is processing the information, there's plenty of white space and plenty of opportunity for their brain to comprehend and digest. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Now, for all you millennials in the audience, Leonardo da Vinci is not Leonardo DiCaprio, all right? These are different dudes. Now you've been notified. And every time I think of an efficient marketing and economic use of words and how less is more in marketing, always I think about this amazing waiter that I once worked with. You know, I was a fine dining waiter in college. It was the best life lessons, the best sales training, the best customer service experience I've ever received. And I was charming, on point, never overbearing. And I just knew how to create whatever mood that guest at that table was needing. The guest at the other table, they might have needed a more gregarious Todd. But at the romantic table, they needed me less is more, right? They needed me to know my distance. Well, I remember overhearing one waiter I worked with. He barely said anything to his guest, and it actually was shocking to me. So I started listening closer, and in 6 words, I discovered his entire routine. He would walk up for his big introduction, right? Where I would come out with my charm. "Hi, good evening. I'm Todd. I'll be taking care of you tonight, blah, 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 blah." And he would walk up doing the opposite. And he would say, "Drinks." And then he'd take a drink order. And when it was time to order your food, he would say, "Questions? Ready?" And he'd write it all down. And then shortly after people started eating, he'd walk up and say, "Good." And when people would finish their entrees, he'd bust out his famous dessert, right? And then when he dropped the check, he'd double down. He'd really use his extra words with a charming thank you. 6 words total, less is more, right? alarmed I actually was confronted. I confronted him because I thought I was there to like interact and be charming and paint the picture of each of the food items. And you know what he said to me? He's like, Todd, they don't pay me to talk. I'm here to bring things they want. As a marketer, you got to understand, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. That's the art. Be short, succinct, and bring your target customer what they want. Help them filter through what they don't want. Don't confuse them. And great things, as for marketers, will always happen. Now, speaking of great things happening, I had a major career breakthrough this week. Now, I can't talk about it right now. It's a little bit too early, but I'm going to give you a password that you can use on me later on down the road on this podcast, or you can even submit a question in a couple months, and I'll be able to tell you by then. And that password that I'm going to give you right now is going to trigger you to have me tell you the story, right? That password to unlock the story is salt and pepper. Now, not to be confused with Salt and Peppa, the American hip-hop rap trio from Queens. You know, most people think video marketing is like a tactic, like search or social or email or conversion, but it's really not. Video marketing is like gasoline on a fire. It's the best amplifier for every one of your online tactics. And what I really hope is that as we develop this deeper understanding for video, you start to realize that video is really just is just the most aggressive tool inside of search, social, email, traffic, conversion. And as such, if you want to be great at it, you have to make sure that you use those tactics, those search, social, email tactics that are proven to be successful already, incorporate video in it, and you'll start leapfrogging over competitors. Now, speaking of leapfrogging, Google's in the news. Imagine that. The San Jose Mercury News is reporting, quote, the life sciences branch of Google parent Alphabet plans to release 20 million mosquitoes in Fresno, California, starting July 14th, according to a new report. What could possibly go wrong when a technology company that's known for search releases 20 million mosquitoes on the general public? That'll be interesting. Hey, look, business gets into trouble when they aren't swimming in their lane. And sure, you know, I know what you're saying, Todd. Google's a juggernaut. It can't be stopped. And to that, I say, let's just talk about your business for a moment. Anytime you start thinking you're a genius or you're a juggernaut in your industry, in any industry, the law of entrepreneurial physics steps in and it humbles your ass quick. It slaps you around and brings you back to reality. Or my advice would be to follow LeVar Ball, the dad of Laker rookie Lonzo Ball. And the dad's advice to Google would be my advice. It is...
stay in your lane.
That's right. Stay in your lane, Google. Don't get too big, right? Because before you know it, you're going to find yourself you're going to start finding yourself creating some enemies. Last thing the world needs, 20 million more mosquitoes, especially in Fresno. Also in the San Jose Mercury News, Google's famous colorful bikes aren't getting locked up after Googlers are using them around campus. And because of that, they're disappearing. They're getting stolen, or Googlers are taking them on rides and not returning them, and they're being dumped in a local creek. What? Really? People aren't taking care of other people's things? How strange is that? Who would have saw that coming? Think with Google, ironically, is one of my favorite publications, and they published an article that you're going to find really valuable. The title is How to Identify the Right KPIs for Online Video. And this lesson comes from Google's lab. Now, what is your primary marketing goal? Now, that's the question you have to be asking. What is your primary marketing goal for this campaign? And reading from this article, which is super valuable to video marketers, as brand teams write briefs, they typically want their video advertising campaigns to increase awareness and consideration and ultimately influence their online or offline sales. And while customers may not have a simple linear experience anymore, thanks to the growing number of touch points, online shopping, reviews, mobile, social, etc., most marketers agree their target audience fits into one of three categories: unfamiliar with the product, on the fence about a product, or ready to act, right? And if you've been following this podcast, we use very similar terminology. We'll call it awareness stage, consideration stage, and decision stage. Got it? And with each new campaign or initiative, it's important you know where your target audience is in their journey and their intent. Based on that, which of the three possible brand goals is your number one priority? All right, you ready? Here we go. Got to figure that out. Now, the question number two is, what are the KPIs for that marketing goal? Now, for those of you who are wondering, yeah, Todd, love the podcast, but what's KPIs? That's key performance indicators, all right? So what are the key performance indicators for that marketing goal? Like, this is stuff that Wirebuzz does when a client approaches us and they're like, hey, Todd, we need a video for blah, blah, blah. We're like, great. You know, we're going to do the video. Let's take two steps back and let's understand what your strategy is. That's the terminology that we use here, right? That's how we boil it down. So we always lay out the strategy first. And when we're doing that, one of the early questions we're asking during a client strategy session is, what are your key performance indicators for that marketing goal? How do we know that your marketing objectives are achieved? How do we know it's going to be successful? If you don't map that out, and most marketers don't, and then they just kind of wing it at the end. Oh yeah, this was successful because of views, right? But you got to know what those KPIs are at the beginning so you could prove out effectiveness. The second step, after you've learned and landed on your marketing goals, take a closer look at the campaign's KPIs. And in this Google article, they say, we use the chart below, which I'm going to put on the show notes page, okay? You should really look at it. It's smart. They use the chart that I'm going to display for you to help brands and agencies select KPIs that are easy to track and align with their marketing goals. All right, so I'm going to do this verbally. You can look at it visually later on. But if your goal, your brand marketing goal, is awareness, then your KPIs, what you're measuring to determine if you're successful, and this is in the early awareness stage for people that don't even know that they have a problem that you solve, your KPIs should be views on that video, impressions, unique users, awareness lift, and ad recall lift. That all happens in early stage, okay? That's not where our ROI takes place. That's where you're creating awareness. In the second stage, which I call consideration, and thankfully Google does too, that second stage, if you're trying to create videos, the key performance indicators there are view-through rate, right? Watch time, favorability lift, consideration lift, and brand interest lift. That's what you can track and measure in that stage. And in the final stage, which Google calls the action stage, and listeners of this podcast, we've been using the term decision stage, Google recommends that you track the following key performance indicators: clicks, phone calls, signups, sales, or purchase intent lift. All right? That's what you track in the final stage. Now, when we're creating videos for clients, we're not creating this one-size-fits-all solution. Most video marketers, when they dip their toe into being problem solvers for their company and helping them generate revenue faster, they create one video that fills each one of these spots. They kind of look at it like a one-size-fits-all, right? That's really the novice approach, but the reality is one-size-doesn't-fit-all if you also need to prove out ROI or to track your key performance indicators. I'll make sure this is on the show notes page for wirebuzz.com/106. There'll also be not only a screenshot of this measuring brand marketing goals with KPI image, you should commit to memory, but there'll also be a link to this Think with Google article about how brands should be evaluating their KPIs for online videos, okay? Super smart, very tactical stuff you need to know. And before I get off the topic of evaluating KPIs and generating ROI, WireBuzz is a real leader in this space. We're obsessed with knowing if our campaigns are successful and then proving out the effectiveness to our clients. And as such, we've been trailblazing the path of guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI, a return on investment. And as such, I created a 5-part free video mini course to the listeners of this podcast. And you can get access to that and learn my secrets in video. So really, you won't have to work hard. I'm going to do all the work. I'm going to be the monkey on the screen educating you. And you can get access to that free 5-part video series at wirebuzz.com/ROI, return on investment. Got it? And each day I'm going to send you a new video, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, maybe 11 minutes for you to watch, digest, and learn to make your campaigns more revenue generating. All right, cool. Good on you. Speaking of the Bay Area and Google and all those companies, I saw this in the East Bay Times. 4 members of a crew filming a television reality show in downtown Oakland were robbed at gunpoint Monday night, and $50,000 worth of equipment, personal items were stolen, according to the victims and authorities. Now, this reminds me of 2002 when I was creating a documentary and I needed to cross over into Mexico to film an interview. And, there were 2 of us guys at 5:30 p.m. on the Mexico side trying to walk 5 blocks to the newspaper's headquarters to do this interview with a reporter. And, well, the sun had already started to go down and it was dusk. And after 2 blocks, literally the freaks started coming out, carrying about $40,000 in gear and maybe 40 pounds on each of us. We noticed that we were being followed by 8 to 10 guys. And every time I looked over my shoulder, it actually felt like the number of dangerous dudes that were for those of you that didn't think dude was politically correct, because I'm talking about people in Mexico, let's just say dangerous hombres following me around. It just kept growing and growing and getting larger. And so, you know, recognizing this wasn't going to turn out well, we made the decision to leave the sidewalk. You know you're up shit creek when you leave the sidewalk and decide to walk back or sprint back in the center of the road, right? The center lane on the road, which, you know, was just provided us great, significantly more visibility to the public. And we ran down that center lane of the street where we sprinted with our gear and got back across the border. Now, I've always felt while in dangerous neighborhoods, using the center lane instead of walking on a sidewalk is much safer. It sounds a lot riskier. You get hit by a car. But I'd rather get hit by a car than get mugged by 9 guys that are going to pull me into a dark alley. It exposes people who would prefer not to, you know, have things in the shadows be seen. Well, the next morning on that shoot, we tried again. When the sun came back up and the reporter picked us up in his car, he pulled up to the front. It actually spooked me like you wouldn't believe, because now I'm thinking, do I even get in this guy's car? I don't even know who he is, really. And while climbing into his back seat, I always remember the baby seat in the back seat of his car. I said to myself, a man with a baby would never kill me. How reassuring, right? Good times. Good times. All right. Let's talk about video players. I received a listener's question. Here it goes. Todd, we're going to upload our video to YouTube and post it on our website. How can I optimize that page for my site to be able to convert at higher rates? Signed, and I love this, thank you, Confused in San Carlos, California. And it looks like we've been getting a lot of emails from Silicon Valley. Like, San Carlos is right there. We've actually got a couple clients in San Carlos. Christo, I'm going to mouth you their names, okay? So here we go. In the same parking lot is, and right down the street is, okay, they're all right there. So I received this email from Confused in San Carlos. Thank you, Confused. Let me see if I can help you clear this up. The first thing I would advise you to do is not use that YouTube player on your website. And I've got a couple of tactical reasons why. First, the embedded YouTube player that you would add to your website is designed to pull your traffic from your site and bring your potential customers back to YouTube. The next time you're on a YouTube video on somebody else's website, you're going to notice that there are a handful of clickable links that bring people from that YouTube video player on their site back to YouTube. The second reason I don't recommend using the YouTube player on your site is at the end of the YouTube video, they're going to recommend, YouTube's going to show your viewer, I don't know, 9 different videos that they could watch that are similar or complementary, which in many cases will be a video about your competitor. And if one of your visitors on your website clicks on a recommended video, poof, they're gone. They go back to YouTube and they probably never even come back to your site. You would never allow one of your business competitors to literally stand in the lobby of your company and talk with your prospects, right? So why would you allow the YouTube player on your website to recommend competitors? Because it's free, right? That's the only reason. Oh, because that's the only video player that you know? Look, that's not good enough. There are a lot of free and even low-cost video players that that will provide enormous advantages to your business. Off the top of my head, the video player that I find myself recommending the most is Wistia, Wistia. But really, when people say to me, Todd, what's the right third-party video player, meaning not YouTube, that I should be using, my initial reaction is, it depends. It depends on what your goals are, what your KPIs are, and we can figure that out in a smarter conversation that gets pulled out during a really smart tactical strategy session. There are free options if you decide to use Wistia, and I'll make sure to add a link to the Wistia website on the show notes page for this episode, all right? Confused in San Carlos, does that help? I hope so. Well, that's the episode. I gave you a lot of information about what's going on in the world of Google. I answered a couple of audience questions, talked to you about key performance indicators and how your videos and really the metrics that you're measuring need to be known before you start creating the video and also need to be analyzed in which video player you should be using, right? And we also covered some really important topics about what's happening in the world of video marketing. I hope that helps you become a more profitable video marketing master. That's the goal. And if this podcast was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Click the subscribe button. And each and every week, we're going to be delivering 2 great episodes. The first episode is going to be either an interview or something very tactical. In most cases, that interview is also highly tactical. All right. And as I mentioned earlier, we've got Greg Jarboe coming up in a podcast that'll be airing very soon. And also Eric Enga, who was Search Marketer of the Year, a big shot in the world of SEO, will be coming onto this podcast to talk to you about his big-time nerd study where he evaluated the videos that showed up on the top of search for different key phrases on Google and the ones that YouTube served up. And he's going to explain in this interview, if you're trying to accomplish advanced search results on Google, here's the tactic. If you're trying to advance your exposure in search on YouTube, there's a different tactic for it. You're not going to want to miss that interview. It's coming up really soon right here on Video Marketing Mastery. So that's the first type of content we're going to provide each week. That's tactical, an interview often providing tactical feedback. Now, the second type of content we're going to provide each week is what you heard in this episode, news in video marketing. And the caveat is I'm always going to be providing you actionable takeaways that make your business more effective, right? So if there's anybody that you're rooting for in the marketing space, recognizing that video, all roads lead through video right now for successful marketers, make sure you send a link to this podcast episode and you tell your friend that you're rooting for that they should be following us in order to become a marketing master. Got it? All right, all right. So the ROI mini course, wirebuzz.com/ROI. The show notes for this episode, wirebuzz.com/106. And if you've got anything you want to pitch my way, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/pitch. Now, coming up, I'm going to be headed to a medical device manufacturing conference for and being a part of lectures up there about how you use marketing and video to amplify your sales. That'll be coming up in Minnesota. I'll be going up there soon. In the meantime and in between time, my commitment to you is still good. I'm going to research the latest information in video marketing so you can become a video marketing master.